Commodity prices surge as Russia's invasion of Ukraine enters day 8. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As fighting in and around Ukraine's biggest cities continues today, an index tracking commodity prices from wheat to oil rose to its highest level since the 1970s. European natural gas prices hit a fresh record high, while other commodities like aluminum, coal, cotton, wheat, and corn are all sharply higher. The international Brent crude benchmark is up nearly 20% this week, touching $120 a barrel this morning, its highest level since 2008. Although Washington has exempted Russian oil and gas exports from sanctions for now, there is widespread reluctance in trade and finance circles to buy Russian commodities. Dominic Schneider, head of commodities research at UBS Global Wealth Management, explains that is making an already tight supply situation worse.
Now, with the situation obviously escalating and war having broken out, and we also have seen obviously sanctions being on the table, commodity supply at this point in time seems to be interrupted, or prospects of being interrupted. And I think that is what is spooking the market. Russia is a quite important exporter of fossil fuels. We're talking here 7.5 million barrels per day. That's a low teen in terms of global trade on crude, but it's also in natural gas, where basically Russia is 20% of export globally, or in coal, where it's close to 20%, 18%. So risk that at this point in time, people cannot source basically commodities from Russia or Ukraine is lifting prices. Risk premiums are being built into commodity prices.
And ultimately, what cools these huge price swings? Because if it's just not getting supplies from Russia, is it just being able to source them from somewhere else? And in that case, that takes years.
I mean, it's not that these supplies are not here. It's just obviously we can't access them. Can somebody else step in? Clearly on the energy side or on the agriculture side, that is quite difficult. There are possibilities that the US, for example, produces a little bit more, or we're going to get a little bit more from the Middle East in terms of oil. But obviously that comes at a price. For them to basically activate spare capacity, that comes with a higher bill, I think, at this point in time. And if we see quite considerable outages, so for example, in crude oil, more than 2 million barrels or even more, then the world has difficulties to replace these. And then the only thing that is left is basically demand destruction. And that does come historically, basically, with weak economic activity. So prices need to go as high, making sure consumers use less commodities.
And we're talking about consumers there. There's been talk about the impact that these commodity price rises are going to have on global food prices. Also, obviously, for prices at the pump for people who use cars and use gas, this certainly won't help the global inflation situation that policymakers at central banks all over the world have been trying to get a handle on.
Yes, absolutely. We see that already in some of the market indicators. You look at break-evens, these are an indication of inflation in the US have moved higher. And so clearly the higher inflation for longer is likely to stay here. The only problem for central bank is what can you do? I mean, you don't control commodities, you don't control oil, so you can't really do much. Now, what is interesting to see here is how are the different central banks likely to react? And the market has already priced out for the ECB that they're going to move. We've got this pivot a little bit, but I think that is now off the table also with the war at the doorstep of Europe. The US, I think it's a little bit of a different story here. Inflation is a little bit of a broader topic beyond just commodities. And I think the Fed is still likely to signal in March a liftoff. And I think that has quite broad ramification. It means the euro is likely to be weak. It also means that, for example, the dollar should be on the stronger side, not just because of the Fed moving, but because of all this uncertainty that we have right now in markets.
Dominic Schneider from UBS Global Wealth. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
You're welcome.
Well, checking a few other numbers now, European stock benchmarks are posting declines in the 0.4% to 1% range. Russia's ruble has fallen to a fresh record low against major world currencies. $1 now buys 117 rubles. Meanwhile, international companies and organizations are continuing to limit or stop operations in or with Russia. The London Stock Exchange this morning suspended trading in 20 Russian firms' London listings, including Gazprom, Sberbank, and Rosneft. The United Nations says 1 million refugees have fled Ukraine since the start of Russia's invasion a week ago. Most have gone to neighboring European Union countries, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Hungary. Today, EU interior ministers will meet in Brussels to discuss a plan to grant temporary protection for those refugees. The BBC's Nick Thorpe is at Hungary's border crossing with Ukraine, which has seen the biggest influx so far.
Нехай святиться ім'я Твоє, нехай прийде царствіє Твоє, нехай буде воля Твоя.
In the crowded hall of the primary school in Tisabech, a Ukrainian woman suddenly starts praying aloud. All around, children play, color the books they've been given, or doze in their mother's arms.
My name is Angelina. I'm from Kharkiv. And we go 6 days. It was very difficult for us, but now we are going to Germany. We are waiting for our friend. He's traveling here now, and we are waiting.
Angelina and her daughters cut striking figures in the throng of refugees. They each wear matching brown felt coats.
In Kharkiv, I'm an architect, and I had a little business. I was serving dresses for women and coats.
In another corner of the hall is a teenage girl in a black hoodie.
My name is Diana. I'm 13 years old and I come from Kiev, Ukraine.
I feel really sad because I had to leave my home. And I'm really sad because we had to leave my dad in Ukraine because men cannot pass the border.
In fact, nobody's dad is here. They all stayed behind to fight. The only men in the crowded hall are Hungarian charity workers and volunteers. People like Béla Szilágyi, who runs the Baptist Charity Service.
We will try our best. Sometimes it's chaotic. Here in this village, nobody can cope with such a great influx of people. We will do our best to help them to find places where they will live peacefully.
Since the start of the invasion, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has changed his tune somewhat. 7 years ago, when asylum seekers from much further afield crossed into Hungary, he built a razor wire fence to keep them out. This time, he and his country are welcoming them with open arms.
That's the BBC's Nick Thorpe reporting from Tisabech, Hungary there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.